Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Thank you for your prayers. Still need them, so keep praying. Keep praying. Not feeling my best, but I'm all right. God's gonna do it anyhow. And please pray for, of course, our senior pastor Lincoln Nelson. He's not feeling well as well. We pray for his speedy return. I'm not saying that for selfish reasons. But we pray that he comes back and he's healthy and he's well. Amen. This month, or not even this month, but recently we've been preaching on the sermon series has been paying attention. With paying attention, we're paying attention to different aspects of your spiritual walk with God, paying attention to learning more about, you know, the things that are happening in our lives, our day-to-day lives, our walk. What are we doing? What are we, you know, just being mindful of praying, you know, how we pray, why we pray, what we're praying about, you know, how we're living, what are we doing while we live? Those things are, you know, these are the things that we're paying attention to. And this sermon series is bringing things to the forefront in regards to our spiritual walk. Amen. And today, we're going to talk about paying attention to purpose on purpose. Paying attention to purpose on purpose. And it's a play on words. I understand it's a play on words. But at the same time, I really want you, I'm just as curious to see how this is going to go. I don't know how God's going to lead us through this. Whether it's going to be a preaching or a teaching, I don't quite know, or even just an encouragement. But even in what we're looking for God to do, or what I believe God is going to do today, is for us to start asking ourselves, what is my purpose? And for those of us that know our purpose, are we being effective with our purpose? Amen. If you can, please turn your Bibles to Matthew 10, the 10th chapter. And I'll do the work. Amen. We're going to read 1 through 10. I'll do it. You just read along. Is that all right? Amen. And it begins. Chapter 1, it says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, of the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat." Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Your purpose, your purpose, your purpose, your purpose. I know when we think about purpose, this is something that, you know, even for if you're anything like me, it's a fleeting thought. It's something that you think about on time, you know, on occasion. You know, sometimes it's as simple as you asking yourself, well, what am I doing? What is the point? Me getting up, getting dressed, go to work, get home, help the kids with homework, you know, sit down, make dinner or eat dinner, help fix dinner. Clean the dishes, you know, talk on the phone with somebody or play a game on your phone, rinse and repeat, do it over and over again. What is your purpose? Are you living your purpose? Or are you just going through the motions? When we think about purpose, purpose is, when we think about this, and we're talking about, once again, paying attention. And sometimes when we think about it, it is a fleeting thought. Sometimes we think of it from time to time. We're just staring out the window. Whenever you get like a moment to yourself and you start thinking about, you know, well, what am I doing here? And you start realizing that quite possibly there might be more to life than this. You start thinking to yourself, like, there might be this. And for some of us, it's okay. Right? It's not as bad as it could be. It's not as good as it could be. And sometimes it's like, you know, there's some things you'd rather be doing, and then there's some things you know you should be doing. Well, where do we get purpose from? We'll be talking about that today. You know, I was talking with Caden on the way here this morning, and you know, even after looking at the text from what we were going to talk about today, I was curious to see what the mind of a child would say, you know. And sometimes I prompt him, I probe him, and I start talking about some of the things, you know, and the subject matter being today, purpose. I said, you know, well, what is your purpose? What were you put on this earth to do? And he said, you know, I am, and he knows his name means one of joy. And so he said, you know, I was put here to make people happy. And I was like, okay, well, or to bring happiness. That's what he said, to bring happiness. And he said he was, he's here to make sure people believe in God. And so he put that together, and he said, okay, I'm here to make sure that people understand that they can be happy and that they believe in God. And so for a mind of a child, I was like, that's pretty awesome for an 11-year-old to say that. As an adult, I mean, of course, you know, you can think about all the things that kind of, you know, go into, you know, life. And what you have to do in your life for you to say that you are a success or to say that you are effective, right? And so for me, I know it's a little bit, you know, for me, I stack it up a little bit more. And I'm like, okay, I have to be a dad, and then I have to be a husband, and I have to be a provider, and I have to be, you know, someone that's going to lead our family, and I have to be, to give a good perception or give a good impression and make sure that, you know, they're taking in the good things and, you know, the right things. And then there's some, you know, then I think about my job and my career and the position I have to have there and what I am there. And then I have to think about my church and, you know, what I'm here to do, what's my purpose here and what I'm supposed to do here. And so you start stacking up all of these things. But sometimes in stacking up all of these things, we kind of get confused in regards to what our true purpose is. It could be just simple. You're here to be for him is to bring to make sure that people understand they can be happy. And to understand that there's God. And once he puts that two and two together, that happiness comes, you know, you can have a true joy because you know God. Once he puts that together, that boy's going to be dangerous. But I say that to say for us to start thinking about your purpose. What are you doing? Are you doing what you're supposed to do? Are you fulfilling what God meant for you to do? You know, I was talking about, and this is something I was thinking about a time ago when I preached a while ago. I think it was last year, this maybe by early this year. But I was saying there was a part in there that was saying, you know, we talk about what we get to do and then what we are supposed to do, what we're purposed to do. Some of the things that we get to do kind of takes over, and we start thinking about that's what our purpose is. Sometimes, like even for me, like my career is what I get to do. I get to do that to be able to provide for my family. I get to do that in order for me to say this is what I'm success. And you know, for some of us, our purpose has been wrapped up in what we are good at, or we think our purpose is wrapped up in what we are good at. Jesus. Sometimes when we start thinking about, you know, what we want to do, we start saying, this is what I want to do, so this must be my purpose. losing sight of the fact that that might not be the case. God might have you to go another way. You see it from time to time when you see people get wrapped up in their careers or being wrapped up in being a parent or being wrapped up in being a husband or a wife. And they lose sight of the fact that when life throws you a blow or when things change, you lose all sight of who you are and what you're supposed to be doing. God forbid things change and things move and shift and you're not necessarily that parent or you're not necessarily that husband or that wife or you're not necessarily, you don't have that job anymore or that career. What do you do now? So many people find themselves lost because they don't understand that their purpose is not just wrapped up in that one thing that they were doing.
Oh, I'm not talking to anybody today.
Some of us get to do some things because we've been given an opportunity to do them. God blessed you with an opportunity to have a career, or God blessed you with an opportunity to be a parent, or God blessed you with the opportunity to be a wife or a husband. But that doesn't make you who you are. It doesn't make you who you are. We have to start thinking about what God has blessed us with and what God has given us or let us do or lets us do. But we start thinking, we have to think about, is this the full extent of why I'm here? You know, when we feel, sometimes we feel like our purpose is wrapped up in our destiny. Right? Or what we feel like we've been destined to do. Sometimes we think that purpose is, you know, when we think about, you know, sometimes and even when we start thinking about what our parents have said or what, you know, even what we, you know, sometimes you've been asked that over and over and over again. When you grow up, what do you want to be? And you start thinking about that over and over and over again. And you start feeling like that is what I'm destined to do. That's what I'm destined to be. But that's not necessarily the case sometimes. You know, I think back to, you know, if you know me, I'm going to throw a movie in here somewhere. So when the movie that comes up to mind or came to mind today was Forrest Gump. And so with Forrest Gump, you know, you had Lieutenant Dan. Lieutenant Dan, if you don't know anything about Forrest Gump was, we could say he was just always at the right place at the right time and at the, you know, sometimes at the dismay, most times at the dismay of Lieutenant Dan. And so, you know, Lieutenant Dan thought his destiny, what his destined to be was a soldier, but his destiny was that he was supposed to die with his men, that he was going to, because his, you know, everybody, every generation, you know, his every generation before it was his dad died in a war, his grandfather died in a war, his great-grandfather died in a war. And so that's what he put in his mind, that is like, I'm going to be a great soldier and I'm going to be remembered. My legacy is that I was brave. My legacy is that I died with my men, that I was going to be a soldier, and that's how I was going to be remembered. But Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump yanked him out of, you know, in the middle of a war, and they got ambushed, and Forrest Gump brought him out, and he didn't get to die. And when you're thinking about that, like, that's your mindset, is that this is the full extent of what I'm going to do and what I'm going to be, and I don't have any plan beyond that. What do you do with that? And for some of us, we don't think beyond where we are right now. We don't think beyond what we're doing right now. We don't think about all the things that God has purposed us to do. We're just thinking about our right now. We have our destiny wrapped up in what we think, or we think we're destined to be a parent, or we think we're destined to be a wife, or we think we're destined to be, you know, a successful businessman, or we're destined to do, you know, to do, you know, the work of ministry to a certain extent. But if those things change, then what? This is to probe you. This is to prompt you to start thinking about what, not what you say, but what God says about your purpose. Just want to ask you this morning, how much of your ego is wrapped up in your purpose? Jesus. How much of your ego is wrapped up in your purpose? Could it be that God purposed you to do something or be something, but because of your ego, you're not going to make it. You're not going to be there. When we think about, and even when we start looking at this text, we're going to start looking at some of the things that, you know, when God's telling you something, what do you do with that information? When God has purposed you to do something, when you've finally been given purpose, what do you do with that? Are you willing to conform? Are you willing to adjust your life to what God has purposed you to do? It's quiet in here. Verse 1. And when he called unto him his 12 disciples, God knows a specific, he knows specifics. God works in details. He knows specifically who is supposed to do what. And he understands that not one person can do it all by themselves. Not once did any of the disciples get to choose, pick and choose who they got to work with. Jesus didn't ask them, look, is this okay if Bartholomew comes along? Is this all right if Simon puts you in a category and makes you do this or do that? He called unto him his 12 disciples and he gave them power. They've been equipped against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And so when we think about the disciples, they had power. Now let's look at the people that he gave power to. The names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, and Simon, the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Not necessarily, I skimmed through those. Not necessarily a dream team. You know, when we think about, when we think about your purpose, have you already assimilated in your mind? Have you already, placed in your mind who can? There's plenty of people that could do this better. When we think about these 12, there's nothing really specific, that's specifically great about these 12. They're not the most charismatic. They're not the strongest. One of them might be Simon. Simon might be the closest thing that would be considered a leader. But the rest of them are usually, some of them are uneducated fishermen. Some of them are, when we think about even the collective group, right? When we look at them all together, you have Simon, we have who called Peter, which of course we know his temper can flare up. You have Simon, the other Simon, which is a passionate zealot, dreamed of destroying Rome. He wants to be destroyed. He wants to, basically break up the establishment. You have Thomas the cynic, right? I have to see it to believe it. And you have Judas the betrayer, the one that stole out the offering plate. When we think about the collective group, these are not, by any stretch of the imagination, any of them are particularly great. Even Matthew, the one that actually wrote this text, he sold himself to the Roman government and became a tax collector. A hated tax collector. It's not popular. None of them were popular. None of them were, when we think about who I would have chosen to be the 12, None of them were, good to look at. It didn't stand out, is what I'm trying to say. None of them stood out, and you would pick them to be what God wanted them to do or purposed them to be. Do you know who you are? Even when you think about how God is using you or what God has purposed you to do, is who you are standing in the way of God being able to get that purpose out? So even sometimes when, I put myself out there, I don't think that I'm a particularly great speaker. I don't think I am charismatic. I don't think I have, when I compare myself to Pastor Ivan or Pastor Lincoln, I think that they have a knack for being able to preach better, and amen. We're just different. But at the same time, I've placed in my mind that, I'm not as good as them. Whatever. But I've said that to myself, that I know, and even not comparing myself to them, but I've compared myself to, of course, your verdicts, or you compared yourself to, and you're like, these people have awesome anointings and being able to preach, and they have an awesome teaching anointing and be able to do this, and they have an awesome, knack for that. So even in my shortcomings, I can definitely measure, count up my shortcomings, but is that stopping God from moving in me? And some of us, we've done that. We say, okay, well, I'm not this, so God can't move. I've done this, so God won't be able to do this. I'm not tall enough. I'm too short. I'm too tall. I weigh this. My wardrobe is not that. I can't talk to this set of people because I look like this, or I talk like that. I have a lisp, or my words don't necessarily come together right. Is who you are getting in the way of God getting the purpose out of you? We're looking at that on purpose today. We're looking at purpose on purpose today, because I want you to see what you are purpose. First and foremost, I want to see what you are purpose. Or if you don't know, I want you to pray about and seek God about what you are put on this earth to do. But if you do know, or you have some, idea, I want you to start thinking about what's stopping you from fulfilling God's purpose. Verse 5, it says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them. Even when we start looking at that, Jesus sent them forth and commanded them. How many of us are not fulfilling purpose because we just don't want to? Wow, I'm not talking to anybody on that one. Some of us, we just don't do it because we just don't want to. And so you imagine, can you imagine this scenario, a disciple, Jesus saying, go out, I'm sending you forth. And you're like, I don't really feel like it. How much of us not fulfilling purpose because we just don't feel like it? We're not fulfilling purpose because it doesn't fit into our agenda. It can be an inconvenience, fulfilling purpose. Sometimes when we think about what's stopping us, sometimes it's us stopping us. Can we be honest? Can we be real? It's not the devil. The devil doesn't have to do but so much. Sometimes you realize that your pillow's a little bit softer and the sheets are a little bit warmer, and when it comes time for you to do something,
that's true,
What's stopping you? What's stopping you? What's stopping you? He said, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. See, we want to, it's so easy to preach to those that already, you know, have some understanding of what things are and how things go. But the ones that are lost, no. We don't want to do that. You know, I'd rather sit on the corner and debate. You know, because that's exciting. I'd rather sit on the corner and talk about, you know, and some of us, you know, enjoy confrontation. Some of us, you know, look forward to confrontation. We can discuss this all day long, but, you know, when it comes to bringing somebody in, those that are lost and those that really need something from God, we see the work. We see the effort that it would take for that. We steer the other way. It says, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city. And when you think about the city, what do you think about city? Prosperity. And we think about, you know, it's cushy there. And we think about, you know, it's, you know, the streets are, you know, well paved. And you think about, you know, things. There's a coffee shop right there. You could drop in the Starbucks and grab you a latte while you, you know, are trying to testify. The people that, you know, they can talk about, you know, we can talk about, you know, in the middle of me talking to you about Jesus, we can talk about what else you're doing. We can talk about, you know, your life and, you know, oh, is that, that's an awesome scarf. Where'd you get that scarf? And then we can talk about, you know, this is what you're doing this Saturday. What you doing this weekend? I did that already. That's a good movie. But God is sending you to the lost. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. People earmarked to hear what you have to say. When we think about that, when we think about what our purpose is, do we think about, God, just anyone I'm supposed to come in contact with today, let me say what I'm supposed to say. Let me be what I'm supposed to be. Let me do what I'm supposed to do. Let me say what I'm supposed to say. Let me do what I'm supposed to do. Let me not have the wrong attitude. Let me not be the wrong, you know, have the wrong agenda or the wrong motives. Let's not make this about me, but let's make this about what this is supposed to be about. You know, sometimes when we think about the lost sheep, you know, we have a different perception, if you will. A different perspective of what someone that's lost looks like. Someone lost can be, you know, they can be hurting. They can be, you know, they can look the part. I can say that. They can look the part, but sometimes the lost ones don't look the part. So where's your discernment? Or do you care enough to discern who's lost and who's not? We're going somewhere with this. It says, verse 7, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Every believer, your purpose should be wrapped around something like this. Every believer, what were you placed on this earth to do? To tell someone that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Yes, you can be a father. Yes, you can be a mother. Yes, you can be a brother, a sister. Yes, you can be a businessman. Yes, you can have a great career. Yes, you can do all the things that, you know, that as long as God's willing, that you want to do. But at the end of the day, you should be preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. How do you say that? Does it come forth with this thou-eth and that's thou-eth and this? Old English speaking. Doesn't have to. Doesn't have to come with, you know, anyone that's driving through downtown. I have good news. That's awesome. Yes. That's Jesus saves. That starts it. That's great. That might not be your way, though, how you preach it, how you say it. But whatever you do, you got to find your voice. I want to talk to you this morning about finding your voice. What is your voice? What does your voice sound like? Do you realize that you have a voice? Do you realize one person can make a difference? You know, that's what I got from talking with Caden this morning, was that he said, my job is to make sure that people understand that there's happiness and that there's God. And he also, I left that part out. He said, I understand I'm supposed to do something great. Do you understand that one person can change this whole world around? Yeah, it does take having people in your life. And that's why I thank God for someone like a Pastor Ivan or a Pastor Lincoln that's going to speak life into you. They're not going to just leave you out there thinking that you can just mull through life, that you can just go through life doing what you've been doing and that everything's going to be okay. See, I understand sometimes you forget about your purpose. You get so wrapped up in life, you can forget about your purpose. And so that's why you have to have somebody in your life that's going to talk to you and be like, remember, this is what you're here for, though. So you don't know what you did for me yesterday. Just in us talking about things and just relaying about things, you know, just talking about what things are and how things are. Sometimes you forget, you get caught up in the details sometimes. You get caught up in looking at something so granular, but you forget the big picture. And you forget your part, the parts you play. Sometimes you think that your part is so small, so minute. But you take that small thing. Anybody know anything about a watch? You take a small spring or a small cog. You can take that one thing out. As small as it is, it breaks the whole thing. So it's not okay that you feel like you can just come whenever you want to and you can just be a part whenever you want to. Yes, we need you for everything we do. You are missed when you don't show up. That's for somebody's on the phone or on the podcast. You might get this one day. Hopefully sometime this week. Monday, Tuesday, tonight. Amen. But when you are not here, you're missed. Things don't work right. Things don't go right. It might be good, but it might not be as good as that would have been. What's your voice? What do you do with your voice? How do you use your voice? How do you preach? How do you teach? How do you give encouragement? How do you give enlightenment? See, some of us are content with just keeping our voice to ourselves. I'll preach to myself all day long, but I'm not going to help anybody else. Why is that? Is it because you've become bitter? You think that you're not being acknowledged? You think you're not getting what you thought you were going to get? When you said what you said? See, the reality is that sometimes what we say, it doesn't fall on deaf ears. It's just that person's not acting on it yet. Take it from a parent. It's not that it fell on deaf ears. And just because they're not doing it that time does not mean it didn't resonate. Sometimes you're saying something and they'll receive it, they'll see it, you can see it like bloop, hit them right in the head. And you think it fell straight to the ground, but they got it. It might not show up in the way that you think it should show up. But when you see them, I'm telling you, it's such a blessing to see Caden, how Caden's developing. Is that so? Sometimes, like, where you can see sometimes he's not as confident. But the boy is doing news at school now. I didn't even know. And he's being he's like a safety guard and things like that. And so when you start thinking about all these things coming together, you like, and how he relates to his friends, how he's the peacekeeper most times. But when you start thinking about this thing, okay, this is stuff I'm saying to you over and over and over again. Because it doesn't show up the way I wanted it to show up or when I wanted it to show up, I see it starting to. Purpose. In your voice. There's purpose in your voice. How you say what you say, what you about to say, when you say it. Verse 8 says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Big things. Big things. But one thing I want you to see in this is that even in healing the sick and cleansing the lepers and raise the dead, cast out devils, before, even if I've given you all the instructions, and even if I've given you all the guidance for you to be able to do this, you first got to what? Believe it. Healing the sick, you're not going to heal anybody if you don't believe that God has blessed you or anointed you to be able to heal. How much faith is wrapped up in your purpose? See, something, it's one thing for us to get a prophetic word and believing in someone else's faith, prompting you to move forward, to do, you know, to go and do what, you know, God has blessed you or purposed you to do. It's one thing. But for you to take hold of it and move forward with it, that takes you believing. Some of us have been there, right? Where God said something awesome over the pulpit, a prophetic word came and hit us, and you didn't know what to do with it. You were like, first of all, you were just so floored by the fact that God saw you, and it was something that was in your heart, and you knew that it was something that it was like, God, I do want to do this. What you're saying that I can do, I see it. I can see myself doing that, being that, helping in that capacity. But now what? It's great on Sunday, but Monday morning, what am I supposed to do? You telling me I gotta heal the sick? Cleanse lepers? Why couldn't it be, you know, something not visual, God? Why can't I help them cleanse the population of arthritis? Something no one's ever going to see if it goes wrong. A headache or an earache or something. But everybody knows when the lepers are coming. So everybody's going to know my prayer didn't work. And everybody's going to know that I miss God. And everybody's going to know I'm off that day. And everybody's going to know I wasn't really believing. I was just going through the motions. Raise the dead? Are you serious? I'm trying to do what I can with the people that are alive. With people that can speak back to me and tell me what's wrong. But now I'm looking at somebody that's dead that doesn't, they don't have no expression and they don't move when I say this or say that. When I pray this or pray that. Casting out devils? What happens when that devil jumps on me, God? Oh, come on, we said it. I'm afraid because I don't want this devil to get off of them and jump on me. The reality is, I'm shook about this that I'm praying about. I'm afraid of what I'm praying. Truth be told, I might be free, I might not be free of this thing. And I don't want your devil to show off on my devil. Now I got two devils. I had one, now I got two. But look at this. It says, freely ye have received, freely give. Jesus is like, I just gave this to you. This power that you have, I just gave that to you. This is power that you have. What are you going to do with it? Do you believe that you have the power? Do you believe God gave it to you, that he engrafted unto you this power that he says you have? Okay, so what gave you that power? Is it because you read the Bible that you have the power? Oh, I'm going to mess with your mind today. Is it because apostle said you had the power? Is that why you had the power? Or did you just wake up one morning and be like, I got the power? Like you He-Man now. You got the power of grace, soak anointing. See, nobody know about that. Grace, soak anointing. What gave you this power? Do you have the power? If you don't have the power, how do you get the power? See, I need you this morning to think about purpose on purpose, because it's good that we can come here. We can bless God. We can praise God. But if you're not getting anything for it, if you're not growing, if you don't feel a charge to push forward to say, okay, I'm going to change not just myself, but my atmosphere, everything that's around me. God put me and placed me here to make a difference. How do I do it? If you come to church, Lord, this is going to hurt to say this, but if you come to church and you are not pushing us to put something in you for you to change the world around you, something's wrong. Lip service. Everybody says they want change. Everybody says they want change. Who don't say they don't want change? It takes power to change. It takes power to change not just you, but it takes power. It takes real power to change the world around you. I like this. It says, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. Sometimes we think that finances is what's stopping us from having power. Sometimes we think it's finances that's stopping us, that keeps us in a place that we're stagnant, or that we're not constantly moving or evolving or growing or pushing forward or moving forward, doing what we want to do. And yeah, it takes finances. I'm not going to say that it doesn't. But when you think that you could just bring this along, and this is something that you are got, this is something you acquired, something that you have that's going to basically be a catalyst for growth or for change. God's just saying, no, I just want you to believe. I just want you to believe you have it in you to do it. You don't have to pay for this next level. Not financially. It's not something that you can solve by taking something out of your purse or out of your pocket. Oh, wouldn't it be easy if we could just throw money at the problem? Wouldn't it be great if we could just throw money at a problem and say, it'll go away, it'll be fixed because I threw money at it. Even though I don't have the money to throw. I might not have the money to throw at it, but if I could just throw money at it. When I talk about that, I say to Church of Philadelphia, I've seen plenty of mega ministries throw money at problems, at congregations, and think that that's what it takes. Nope. I've seen mega ministries close their doors. People walk away, try to find something else, another place to go. Because there was money that was thrown at situations and money that was thrown at problems, but it wasn't the answer. Wow. It takes a collective. It takes people. It takes people coming together to be on the same page. So when we talk about your purpose, when we talk about what God has purposed you to do and what God has purposed you to be, and we understand that it's not about finances, or we understand it's not about your ego, and it's not about destiny or what people destined or think you thought your destiny was or could it be. It's not about your career. It's not about your position. It's not about what you like to do. It's about what God said for you to do. What is purpose? Purpose is what one intends to accomplish or attain. Ask yourself, what does God intend to accomplish with me? What does God intend to accomplish? When we say intention, that means there's a deliberate call to act. There's a deliberate process, or there's a deliberate beginning and then a starting point and an end. Intention. What is God's intention for me? When God says, and Pastor Lincoln touched on this a few weeks back, when he said that, you know, when you say, well done, well, a good and faithful servant, what is that? What is that? Each one of us has to find that. When you look at God, when God looks at you, I'm sorry, and he says you are effective, what does that look like? See, we're thinking about purpose on purpose this morning. It's not going to be just a fleeting thought. I wonder if I'm doing all right. And then you go back to, you know, making lunch. But we are taking a pause here just for you to reflect, for you to think, for you to process where you are right now. What's the next day look like? What's the next week look like? What's the next month look like? What's the next year look like? And I'm not talking about your creative, you know, I'm not talking about your agenda. I'm not talking about your vision and your goals. I'm not talking about that. In God's eyes. When we think about purpose, and I think about when we think about how God created all of us, first and foremost, we do understand that we are not just here off of coincidence, right? We do understand that, you know, we have been pieced together strategically. The way we look, the way we are, the way we sound, what we do, how we do what we do, what we've been taught, our culture, our outlook, our ways of looking at things, we have been strategically pieced together, put together for a certain reason. What is that? When we think about even when Hebrews 12 and 2, it says Jesus the author, he starts off the scripture saying Jesus the author and finisher of our faith. That means that he knows basically how this book is being read, should be read. And when you think about a book, as a book is being brought together, put together, you think about all the process, the table of contents, everything from the cover to cover, table of contents to the appendix, and everything in between. Every word is to tell a story. And even though it's being pieced together and put together as we are walking through this life, we understand that it's not for a coincidence. There is a purpose to this book. There's a purpose to this book. Now, when I look at us, we are a collective. We are a library of books. But my book shouldn't be too different from your book. In other words, and the thing about it is, your book should speak about the truth in my book. And my book should speak about the truth in your book. And all the books coming together, that is the purpose. The purpose is that we are able to be on one accord and say the same thing, that God is real. That God is moving. That God is doing something. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So it says, verse 10, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. So in other words, he's basically saying that there's nothing that you could take with you for this journey that you can just count on that's going to be there. Sometimes our purpose can be, finding your purpose can be, you can't count on what you think you can count on. Does that make sense? Some of the things that we thought we could have, or the things that we believe are going to be there, are not always going to be there. But God's saying that some of the things that you've been looking to be there has been a crutch for you. Wouldn't it be great if this thing was already written out? Like even when it says no script for your journey, that even as I'm writing, you know, I'm writing down, this is what I'm about to do, this is where I'm about to be, this is where I'm going to go. God said, no, let me lead you. That's what the problem has been so for so many of us, is that we pretty much written out, this is what I'm going to do and this is what I'm going to, and God's purpose is like, no. This, I'm going to be here, and then by the time I'm 30, I'm going to be this, and then I'm going to have a child here. Husband first, then child. Wife first, then child. Then I'm going to come back to career. Then career, family, friends. God's saying, don't get caught up in that. That's what the problem has been so far, because we had to get around your ego. What you said you're going to do and what you're not going to do. We had to get around who you thought you were. Do you know how hard it was for me to be like, minister, pastor? Like, if you ask me, I should be not even on this coast right now. If you're a web developer, I'm telling you, 2000, for you to be a web developer, it makes no sense for you to be in Charlotte. If you're going to stay in North Carolina, you're supposed to be in Raleigh or Durham. But if you ask me where I should be and where I am, if you ask me, should I be retired by now? I'd be like, yep. You ask me if I'm supposed to have an app by now? Yep. You ask me if I'm supposed to be preaching to you right now? Nope. But me writing out my life, what good has it done me? Can I be honest? I'd be lost without you. As a pastor, I'd be lost without you. Your encouragement and your love, your pushing me forward. You, and even when I'm about to do something wrong, Lord, I'm a pastor of a church. I wish I could say it's just, you know, me being a good person. But I'm trying to be like, okay, you understand, you're encouraging me just as much me encouraging you. Don't think just because I got a title over my name or beside my name doesn't mean that, you know. Oh. So y'all being loving, y'all being caring, y'all showing me that, you know, this is, I'm a believe God, I'm a trust God. And I'd be like, amen. When I tell you, COP, I've learned, like, what outlandish faith is. Some of the things that we believe. believe in God for. You'd be like, wow. I'm just going to show up on this line. They're going to give me a car today. You'd be like, what? But it's happened. See, someone with an analytical mind, someone just trying to piece things together, like Thomas, the cynical one. I could be that at times. And so it takes, you know, a prophet's portion to be like, no, this is what's going to happen. And I'll be like, okay. And bam, it happens. I'll be like. But it takes, I realize, like, over time, like, I need y'all. And that's the thing, you know, when I see us, I want us to understand what our purpose is. Because I know more people like me can be lost. I know more people like me can have a bad understanding. And I know more people like me can be a little cynical at times. I know more people like me can be a little judgmental at times. I know people like me looking for love, a real love. Not just like, okay, this fake stuff. Like I can just go into a congregation of thousands and just be part of the crowd. See, that's why it's so important that we find purpose. I want to talk to you about finding your purpose on purpose today. I don't want it to be like a fleeting thought. I don't want it to be like something you just think about on occasion and then you go back to doing what you're used to doing. I want you to realize that you make a difference. I want you to walk away from this sermon. If anything, I want you to start thinking about what you're here for. Not just here in our church, but on this planet. What are you here for? Do you realize you can make a difference in someone's life? Do you realize that? Okay, let's take it a step further. Will you make a difference in someone's life? Mm. No scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor your staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Some of the stuff you don't have, or you think you don't have, it's because you haven't been working. I don't have no friends. Your attitude pushed people away. What does it take to be a friend? You got to be open. You got to be caring. You got to be trusting. You got to be loving. You got to be concerned. It's not all about people being concerned about you. I don't have any friends in my life. God gives you opportunity. I don't have nothing to do. Oh, there's plenty to do. For those people that are bored, see me after church. I could tell you some stuff that we need help with. I don't see where I fit in. Let me help you. What part I can play? Let me help you. I want to see more people in our church services. I want our praise and worship to be lit. I want big. We can get there with your help. I want to be more loving. Sacrifice. Come on. Lip service, y'all. But God's saying this is something that he wants you to have. The workman is worthy of the meat. You'll get it. And when you get it, you'll see that I was worthy of this. This is me doing this. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm going to gain from it. I'm going to get the benefit from it. It might not be the way that I thought it would be, but I'm going to, it's purposeful. Me fulfilling purpose is purposeful. Amen. I want you to think. I want you to reflect. I want you to take in what's been said today. I believe God is speaking to us, and even when we start thinking about this, these new, you know, our next steps. And we think about just even individual on the individual level. What does my next step look like? What is my next level look like? What am I supposed to be doing? Am I doing it? I don't want you just coasting. I don't want you to look back 20 years from now and be like, what happened? I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to look back over your life and think to yourself, all those people, everybody I talk to, and what, Lord, right now, yes, there are negative things you can do with social media, but there are countless positive things you could be doing with social media if you're going to use it. It used to be a time you would have to, there was no way that you could make an impression across the globe. But now everybody gets to see what you ate for lunch. That's the impression you want to leave? You want 3,000 likes on that? Really? But God's saying, this is, look, you can make a difference. I'm challenging you to seek God. Get an understanding of what you can be, who you can be, what God has purposed you to do, what you have at your disposal that you can make a difference. Amen. Please stay into your feet. Amen. Amen. We all right? Amen. 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 This is an opportunity for you to give. Of course, you can go and text 84321. Huh? Thank you, everyone that came out yesterday for our fellowship fun event. It was awesome. We played dodgeball, we played kickball. Were we supposed to get to a third sport? Okay, we just did it too, huh? Basketball? We do volleyball, weren't we? But it was awesome.